Now, about half an hour ago, the Taoiseach was speaking in relation to the ongoing developments.
We have achieved all that we set out to achieve in phase one of these negotiations. We have the assurances and guarantees we need from the United Kingdom and support for them from the European Union. I am satisfied that sufficient progress has now been made on the Irish issues. The parameters have been set and they are good. Now we can move on to work out the detail of what has been agreed, to talk about the transition phase, free trade and the new relationship between the EU and the UK.
The Taoiseach speaking about half an hour ago or so. I want to speak to Sammy Wilson from the DUP. Sammy Wilson, good morning.
Good morning.
I suppose people are hoping that progress will be made or will be stuck in this quagmire. Many will be saying, you know, we're at the mouth of Christmas, and if you're looking into a selection box, there's nothing but fudge in there.
Well, I think that there's no fudge about Northern Ireland's position within the United Kingdom in this document. And at the beginning of this week, we were concerned that there was fudge about our position, because this was a very green document. And now, as a result of the work which has been done over this week on the document, we have assurances that, first of all, the government will stand by Northern Ireland in its position within the United Kingdom. Secondly, that there will be no separation of Northern Ireland from the rest of the United Kingdom market. Thirdly, that we'll be leaving the EU on the same basis as the rest of the United Kingdom, and we'll be leaving the customs union and the single market, and that any alignment which needs to take place will take place on a United Kingdom-wide basis and not specifically to Northern Ireland. And those are the kinds of assurances that we were looking for. Obviously, there are things we'd like to have seen further changed in this document, but we believe that in terms of the safeguards for the union, we have achieved what we wanted.
But are they assurances or are they guarantees? Because it also says the principles of this report will not predetermine the outcome of any discussions in the future relationship between the EU and the UK. And therefore, if you're saying between the EU and the UK, you're saying between the Republic of Ireland and the UK.
Well, you know, that's true with all these European documents. In fact, I think the preamble to all of these documents indicates that nothing's agreed until everything is agreed. But of course, if there's no agreement then with the EU, then we leave without any deal at all, and the United Kingdom will operate within the rules of the World Trade Organization.
But do you not feel at this moment in time that the Prime Minister is going to let you hear what you want to hear, because you have quite a say at the minute, but somewhere down the line you mightn't have such a say?
Well, and one of the reasons why we wanted the assurances that we have got in the document was that we didn't just want the Prime Minister to say things in the House of Commons and on interviews, etc. We actually wanted it in the agreement which was set out, and those words were not in the very green document that was published leaked at the beginning of the week. They are now in the document, and just as the Irish government has accepted that the assurances given in this give them a degree of assurance, the assurances in it give us a degree of assurance.
Do you accept that somewhere down the line, the DUP and people who believe the DUP is right in terms of Northern Ireland will have to make concessions?
Well, you know, I don't know what you mean by making concessions. The arrangements which will have to pertain once we leave the EU in relation to the border have already been laid out by the government in the paper which it produced in August. We are happy with the kind of arrangements which have been suggested, and we believe that they're workable, and we can have the best of both worlds. We can leave the EU, but we can ensure that there's free movement across the border.
Okay, Sammy Wilson, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you, thank you. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Can Sammy have best of both worlds?
Not really, no. No, I really... you know, if you look at the document and you're pretty much from a unionist point of view, pretty uncompromising unionist point of view, there's plenty in there to satisfy. There's plenty that will reassure you that everything's going to be all right come what may. And if you look into it and you're, you know, of a greener disposition and you think, you know, just a bit sceptical of what they're getting up to. And then you see, and there's plenty in there to reassure you and to give you exactly what you need. So you just then have to stand back and think, well, how is that possible? Do you know, how is that possible? Because they were quite sharply apart, the two sides, and now they've got a document which seems to satisfy everybody. And you think, well, sometimes you can do that, and sometimes, as you beautifully put it, you could do it with a lot of fudge. And I think there is an element of fudge. You know, it one of the key paragraphs, and you know, it's too early in the morning for people to get their heads around some of this stuff, but there's a, I have to quote a wee bit. It says, in the absence of agreed solutions, the UK will maintain full alignment with the rules of the internal market and the customs union. And you have to think, agreed solutions involving whom? Because it doesn't say Sammy Wilson has to agree this. It could be, in other words, the agreement could be between the UK and the EU and perhaps the Republic of Ireland. But it doesn't say that Sammy Wilson has or Arlene Foster has to agree to this solution. So in other words, you're just, when you get down to this, that sort of detail, you begin to see, yeah, but who has a final word in this? So at some point, I think it is inevitable that the DUP will be saying, that's not what we believed we were agreeing to. And it's quite possible that the Republic could be saying the same thing about some proposition that they're having to support. But you know what? It's actually, even though I might sound sceptical about it, I think it's brilliant because it means that we get on to discussing the future trade deal, because it would have been dreadful if we ended up with an impasse. And we, in a year's time, the UK, including Northern Ireland, falls out of the EU with any sort of arrangement whatsoever. Now we are going to get a deal. There is no doubt about it. We'll move on to stage two. We'll have a trade talks. They'll be tough. Everything will be up for grabs. But we will get a deal, and it means it protects the interests of the vast majority of people. A lot of people, I think, won't be happy with it. But in a sense, it guarantees that it's not going to be an economic disaster. And, you know, that's the crucial thing as far as I'm concerned. But there is no way that the document genuinely satisfies everybody. It just couldn't do it. I mean, you don't have to be have the wisdom of Solomon to know that this is just not possible. And so, but what you have is your paragraphs, when you look at them, they seem to contradict each other.
So you know, if you're positive there in so much as we're going to get a deal coming down the line, but you know, you're also accepting that they're fudging this important issue that has been a stumbling block. And when they do fudge something, are they fooling us? Are they fooling themselves? Or are they fooling each other?
I suppose again, there's a bit of that. You see, you know, they're too smart, really, these negotiators to really be fooled. You know, but they're certainly happy that there's a huge look. If you were kind, you would say there's ambiguity. There's a huge ambiguity in these things as to what really will happen in these circumstances. And that's politics. You know, like, politics is all about compromise, and it's not entirely clear. I mean, everybody talks about the Belfast Agreement as if it was a very clear and was everything spelt out in such detail. But it's not really. You know, you begin to look at it and you think, that's not a document which is has illuminates everything wonderfully.
It's slightly more understandable than
this one. Well, it's certainly more understandable than this one. It certainly is. But in a sense, it has a little bit of fudge. It seems to reconcile things that can't be really reconciled. We'll not go into it now, but, you know, that's the nature of these things. It gets you on another step. Oh, now we've moved on another step. And I think it's wonderful that Theresa May has been able to do that. I'm not suggesting she's fooled everybody, and nor have the EU fooled everybody, because there the thing is, the document is plain to see, and this morning Sammy Wilson seems perfectly happy with it. Leo Varadkar perfectly happy too. So they've read the document and found enough in it to satisfy themselves, and if they didn't like it, they didn't have to sign up to it. I'm just saying, I think it's it'll be obvious to anybody with a brain in their head that it's impossible that everybody has got what they wanted because they took opposite positions and things. So, you know, we can't get out of the single market and the customs union and then with the inevitable divergence that that will incur and then have free movement right across between north and south. It just won't be possible.
So the big dates to look forward to now that we're all in positive mode, what should we be looking to now?
You know, it's ceremonially probably next Friday. We have the formal now, because it formally what we've got now is a requirement for all the heads of state of the various countries, the EU countries, the EU27, of course, not involved in the UK, meeting in Brussels on next Friday and saying, yes, there's enough in as we accept this document. Clearly they will. But, you know, they meet next Friday and then they say, yes, the various countries involved now approve this and we are now going to go on to stage two, the talks about a future trade deal between the UK and the EU. And, I mean, that. So when we get on to that, but I can't quite recall which EU official, but someone was saying today, you know, there's less than a year. Strictly speaking, we have until March 2019. But this guy, whether it was Tusk or Juncker, was saying, look, you know, in reality, we've much less than a year because these things will have to be put into effect. So you have a deal, and then you have to go around and change all these things so that come a certain point, things begin so that everybody knows what they're doing. Although, of course, we will have a transition. There seems to be little doubt about that. There is going to be a transitional deal. But nevertheless, things will change in a way in March 2019, and people will have to prepare for it. But it's a huge step forward, and, you know, it's a testament to the negotiating abilities and the diplomacy of the people involved.
Okay, Jamie, thank you very much. Jamie DeLargy, business commentator. Now, good morning. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. We had positivity from Sammy Wilson, positivity from Leo Varadkar, positivity from the Prime Minister so far this morning, even positivity from Jamie DeLargy. Let's see what Alliance thinks. Stephen Farry. Stephen Farry, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Are you going to be positive and upbeat as we march towards the next chapter of Brexit?
I'm cautiously so, Frank. I think this is an encouraging document that we have, but it's important to qualify that by recognising this is a foundation stone on which different types of structures and mechanisms can be built. I think there's two fixed points. One is the protection of the Good Friday Agreement, and the second is the avoidance of any hard border on the island of Ireland. So those are the two things that have been banked clearly and unambiguously on the back of this text. But there will be differences in terms of interpretation, in terms of the wording now, as to what happens next, whether that is something that is, in effect, a very soft Brexit UK-wide, which manages some of the contradictions, or whether some sort of special measures have to be put in place for Northern Ireland.
So do you think, in the future, as we go through our normal 9-to-5s, we won't see anything different with regards to the border?
Well, that's the commitment, and that is a fairly big statement to make, because Brexit does mean friction. I mean, whenever we leave the European Union, there will be contradictions and challenges that emerge from that. So to avoid any degree of disruption in terms of, not necessarily the border, but the all-island economy and north-south cooperation, that is a fairly far-reaching statement in terms of its implications, and that will mean a fair degree of alignment in terms of regulations, in terms of not just the movement of goods, but also things like the services issues in terms of consumer standards, and also, quite importantly, I think movement in terms of labour and potentially EU nationals as well, because they're much part of the economy on the island as people of either Irish or British identity.
It says in the report that the principles of it will not predetermine the outcome of discussions on the future, of any discussions on the future relationship between the EU and the UK. So discussions are going to be ongoing. And Sammy Wilson seems confident that the DUP are in the right place with regards to where they've taken us, and they would claim responsibility for the progress that's been made. But they mightn't always have that negotiating hand. Are you of the mindset where he might be fooled or not?
Well, I think the DUP might perhaps need to have a little bit of caution and shouldn't be too self-congratulatory from their own narrow perspective. But if the DUP are prepared to take a much more far-reaching and inclusive approach to the future of the Northern Ireland economy, then I would very much welcome that approach. But in terms of where this goes from here, I mean, if there's a very comprehensive EU-UK agreement, then all of the tensions will be reduced to the bare minimum. But that implies something that goes beyond anything else that has happened in terms of free trade agreements anywhere else in the world. So that is a very tall order. If we don't have that, then there will be some degree of tensions to be managed. And to our mind, an alliance, the clearest way through those is for Northern Ireland as a region to remain part of the single market. That does not interfere with our unfettered access to the market in GB, but also allows us to have unfettered access to the European market. In effect, it's the best of both worlds, almost a fit in both camps, and we've called our own document Bridges Not Borders. It's important that Northern Ireland seizes this opportunity to be in that pivotal place. And as you appreciate, our economy has been struggling over past decades. There's a long way to go, and it's important that we don't shut ourselves off and become sort of backwater, but instead we're in a position where we can really maximise opportunities in all directions.
Okay, Stephen Farry from the Alliance Party, thank you indeed. We'll speak to Colm Eastwood from the SDLP, the leader of the party. Colm Eastwood, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
We've had lots of positivity on the programme this morning about the ongoing negotiations for Brexit. Everyone I've spoken to, well, we heard from the Prime Minister, we heard from the Taoiseach, I spoke to Sammy Wilson, I spoke to Jamie Delargy, I spoke to Stephen Farry, and everyone's got a spring in their step about it. Do you?
Yes, I think it's a good deal. It's much the same as we had last week, with some changes in language and emphasis, which, you know, if the DUP needed that after the tantrum that they threw, well, that's fine. I'm happy that they're more comfortable, because, you know, we all said that there is no threat to the constitutional position until people decide otherwise, and that was not what this was about. So this whole negotiation, and the Irish government, I think, have done a very good job here. This whole negotiation has been about protecting people here, protecting our economy, protecting our businesses, and protecting our citizens. And I think, from what I've seen, that this agreement in this phase is doing that, because it means now there's going to be no hard border in Ireland. It also has opened up a very strong possibility of a soft Brexit for GB as well.
So do you feel everything's resolved and it's going to move swimmingly, or are we going to be caught out in the long grass, in the fudge, or whatever other analogy we like to use?
Well, I think there is a long way to go yet, but what this provides is a backstop for Ireland. And I think businesses can be comfortable now that whatever happens beyond this in terms of the trading relationship between Britain and the European Union, Northern Ireland will be able to maintain its trading relationship with the European Union and with Britain. Now, that is a huge, huge deal. It's a very, very good deal for here. But I think what it inevitably means is what we will see is whether or not we're technically still in the customs union and single market. I think we will be in something that looks very much like it. In fact, it'll be identical.
Sammy Wilson thinks we're leaving it all together. We're all getting out with the UK.
Well, what we've been saying for a long time is that the best way to avoid a border in the Irish Sea, as it's been described, is for the UK as a whole to maintain their membership of the single market and customs union. Now, what I suspect will happen is that they'll call it something else. There'll be a customs arrangement. There'll be regulatory convergence alignment between Britain and the European Union, which will basically mean that they're in it, but they can say that they're out of it.
So more bluff and more fudge.
Well, you know, I think that's where the trading relationship between Britain and the European Union will end up. And what it'll actually mean is they won't be able to go around the world and seek trade deals, because something is going to have to give here. I never thought they would get good trade deals by leaving the European single market anyway, and I think that's going to become more and more obvious as the next year or so goes in. But I suppose what we're concerned about is protecting ourselves, and I think that has been done. There is now a backstop there to make sure that we won't be leaving the trading relationship with the European Union, and if we can manage that along with the trading relationship with Britain, then that's a very good day's work.
So the majority of people who voted for Brexit, they're not getting what they asked for?
Well, I suppose we don't know what they asked for, because leaving the customs union and single market was never on the ballot paper. In fact, many of the senior Brexiteers said that there'd be no need to leave the customs union and single market. They said a lot of things, of course, but I think that's now becoming a reality. If people want to continue to trade, on the same basis that they're doing now, then they'll have to give up on their notion that they're going around the world to get trade deals. Of course, they won't get any better trade deals than a market of 500 million people. The ones that we have now are as good as they're ever going to get. And the idea that the island of Britain will be able to get a better trade deal than the European continent, I don't think makes much sense.
Okay. The leader of the SDLP, Colm Eastwood. Colm Eastwood, thank you.